different than Spinoptera because it doesn't fly. You put it in a place, it stays there, and it just sort of chugs along, and I think it's more likely to have mortality effects on the knapweed than Spinoptera will, and it may be a better agent. And the other point about it is I don't think there's any doubt that Larinus is a very good biocontrol agent, but my experience with spotted knapweed in the Kootenays in BC is that we're not seeing a lot happening there with these agents, and I suspect that it's one thing to talk of silver bullets, but I think we might need a couple of them in for different places. That's the sort of, and in this case, because Cyphocleonis can have the impact that we observed here, I think it may be one of the second bullet, maybe. So I'll finish with that, with just acknowledging people that helped do the field sampling and the work and funding. Thanks very much.
Those of you who knew me from before, I was at the California Department of Food and Ag for many, many years, working on yellow star thistle and diffuse knapweed. Where's the talk?
Well, it's coming up in PowerPoint for some reason.
And then I moved to Wyoming about a year and a half ago. My wife wanted to make this big move, so we moved to Wyoming. And so it all makes sense with the title.
There we go.
All right. Okay. Anyway, so when Link asked me to do this, I was at the University of Wyoming. And while I was there, I hit a little black ice and rolled the car a couple of times. And my wife raised the question, why are we here? So the lesson is learned, and I'm back in California again. I took the title for the session for what it was supposed to be, questions raised. But in the context, so my original title was establishing the impact of these three of agents on those three different knapweeds, but I've kind of decided to change the talk, focusing on little lessons that are learned. And so there's really nothing terribly unique about a lot of those lessons. There's something that most weed biocontrol people know. This is just another example of how they really fit in a new system. For us in California, the knapweeds are a little different than they are in the rest of the country. Diffuse and spotted knapweed are obviously not a big problem. They're eradication weeds, with the exception of one location for each one where we are doing biocontrol.
I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to this group today and hear what Dr. Bonstetter said with regard to some, I guess, missing pieces that he sees in those that are being prepared as teachers, because as someone who looks at a lot of hiring of folks for the private sector, we see very similar missing pieces of some pretty basic components, not only at the undergrad level, but sometimes at the graduate level too. And I'm actually going to speak to that with the department administrators tomorrow about, are they cranking out the right kind of product relative to entomology talent for the future. But today we want to talk a little bit more about the undergraduate research experience. I do work in the seeds and traits area within Diagra Sciences, and basically I manage research programs across North America. But as you'll see in some of my slides as we go through, in the private sector, one rarely wears one hat. So another thing that I've been doing for the past 5 or 6 years is serving on one of our corporate talent teams to look for talent that we hire and that we basically recruit for entomology-related positions in the company. Recently, I've moved over to a seeds and traits, more of an agronomy and plant breeding talent team that does the same thing. But through that process, I've had a lot of opportunity to speak with students and to really understand what students are doing at particularly the master's level, where we begin to track them when we hire PhDs, but certainly a lot of interaction with undergrads as well. So I've been involved in that. I'm on the development council with Purdue, and I am an adjunct at Nebraska. So I do try to stay involved with students, and hopefully that will play out in some of what I have to tell you today. But as we look at a presentation outline here, before we start into kind of the main topic at hand, which is what are those opportunities in the private sector, I think it's important to give you a little bit of information on some of what I call the basic truths about the private sector, to kind of set the stage for why we do what we do and how that may play into this. Talk about gaining some research experience through the private sector, the opportunities we have for undergraduates in particular, and then focus in on internship programs, which is a large part of those opportunities. You know, what should a student be taking away from that research opportunity when they have it, and does the experience make the student more competitive? So that's kind of the way I'd like to go through the presentation. To give you just some basic truths, as I put it, with regard to the private sector, there are some things about it that are very different from an academic setting. It tends to be very fast-paced. We do very few things, if any at all, if there's not a mission or a focus behind it. It has to bring value to a business setting. And there, everything we do is very metric-driven, and everything is measured and calculated, and the cost-benefit is weighed out. So when we start looking at projects and things that we do, we don't really pursue knowledge just for the sake of learning more about some subject. It has a driver behind it in some way. Businesses are always accountable for business development. In other words, what we do in our industry is we're basically developing products or services that someone somewhere finds value in and will pay money for at some point in the future. We're very customer focused in that regard. We don't build something that someone isn't interested in consuming, and therefore the customer and their feedback to us on what a product should look like is very important. Everything has a timeline, everything has critical paths and milestones and budgets and resources and all those kind of things that really drive it. And the final, I guess, basic truth on this slide is that change is constant. And that's one of the things that as we bring students in for these experiences, we try to kind of give them a flavor for these sorts of things in that, you know, change is going to be constant, flexibility is important, breadth in your knowledge is something that needs to be, you know, commonplace and a real part of your education. Some basic truths with regard to actually what the employee experiences. You know, scientists will work in disciplines other than their chosen profession. So again, it gets to this breadth and a need for some experiences, you know, for an entomologist beyond entomology. You know, they need to be able to talk to weed scientists, and they need to be able to talk to plant pathologists and folks in other disciplines. More and more, they need to have the lingo down to talk molecular a little bit and talk on biology at that level versus the whole plant or the whole organism level. Employees typically perform more than one role, so you're juggling a lot of balls at one time. As I said, I have had this talent team role and some other things that I do in addition to my basic job. Nearly everything is accomplished in teams, so another thing we look for and another experience we try to provide to the students when they come in is that you got to learn how to play well in the sandbox. It's really, really important to be able to get along, to be able to work in a team setting, and to understand that at the end of the day, there's very few things that you're going to get a merit badge for that are yours alone. They're going to be things that are accomplished in a team setting, and the accomplishments that are made are celebrated in that way. And, you know, as I said, the major result then becomes a result of lots of these little team efforts into some kind of a collective effort. So as we look at, you know, I guess gaining research experience through work in the private sector, you know, there are some things that it does for the student. And the first one is it helps them internalize these basic truths about industry or about the private sector that I've talked about in the last two slides. It helps them really get that. And I think it's important, particularly at the undergrad level, because every student has a decision to make at the end of their bachelor's degree or their associate's degree, and that's whether to go on or to go find a job now, and what do I really want to do. And if your research is your focus, based on the experiences we can provide, that probably means to go on to other things and maybe an advanced degree. So it's important for them to understand what that means relative to jobs in the private sector, and we try to do that. It provides access to some fairly key learning elements that may not be available at a school or institution. And there again, it gives that broader scope, maybe a different spin on how research is approached based on, I guess, the desired outcome of the research. It highlights the importance of some cross-discipline knowledge, and we try to make that very clear to the students as soon as they arrive. And in fact, they will have multiple roles too in our kind of an internship program or a research opportunity. Develop an awareness of a wide spectrum of jobs and roles and responsibilities that are available to them. I think a lot of students come out of school and really don't understand what the business world is like and what the opportunities are And it's to no one's fault, it's just that they haven't had that kind of an experience. So to be able to provide them a look at really roles within the company that are beyond what they would see in maybe the actual job we've hired them to do for the summer or however long the term of the opportunity is. We try to expose them to some other areas of the business. We try to show them what a lot of different entomologists in our company do, and they have a wide array of jobs that they do. And then basically solidify the importance of this team interaction. Even in an internship assignment or a summer job or whatever we might have as a research experience, they're not going to be working alone all the time. They're going to be working with other folks, and they're going to have to learn how to do that and how to be productive in a team. And then obviously some through all these things, provide some perspective on career focus. They may get done with one or two of these internship experiences and decide there's no way in heck they want to work for industry. On the other side of the coin, it may open their eyes to an opportunity they weren't really aware of before. So those are the kind of things we try to do as we bring students in. Just talk a little bit about what the opportunities are within the private sector. And really, there's kind of three categories of experience that I see in our industry, at least. There's basic summer employment, the good old summer job where you're working to make cash so you can go back to school in the fall. There are a lot of, situations where a student might be counseled not to take those kind of opportunities because it might not be viewed as a strong research experience. And of the three, I've marked it in yellow here because in reality it probably isn't as strong as the other two, but I think there are a lot of students that maybe shouldn't discount this as an opportunity because a lot of these roles tend to be at a field breeding station or at a field research station where you're learning just by default and kind of going through the motions and working in an hourly kind of a pace. You're learning a lot of things about experimental design and randomization and a lot of things that can have value. So in the event that a student maybe doesn't have the opportunity for these other two categories, I certainly would not discount this as an opportunity for a student to get some exposure to the private sector and to some research-related kinds of things. I'm going to show you a lot of pictures of students doing summer research and undergraduate research as we go through. What you won't see are a lot of laboratory pictures, and that has to do with some requirements that our company has about showing pictures of laboratories and things. So most of the pictures will be outdoor. Let's talk about summer employment in a little more detail. What these tend to be are very research-related work activities, but they are basic summer jobs, and they are for an hourly wage, and that can range all over the place. These can be jobs that are indoors or outdoors. We have a lot of laboratory and greenhouse work that we do hire summer employees for. We have assignments at, as I said, ag chem field stations, as well as seeds and breeding field stations. This can be anything from helping do pollinations in a breeding nursery to basically helping put on spray applications in a replicated plot and learning how to calibrate a backpack sprayer and those kind of things. So it can be a wide array of things. In this particular situation, they're actually putting trenches around plots of corn so they can actually cover those plots with tents so that we can begin to measure the emergence of rootworms coming out of the soil and collect those rootworms in tents. So this is the front end of that process. A lot of these roles can be assigned with an area or a territory scientist, either in our crop protection area or in the agronomy side of our business, where not being located at a field station, you get a flair for the scientist that services a whole group of different types of professionals, and they'd be seeing the interaction with university researchers, they'd be seeing the interaction with private researchers, as well as some self-initiated trials where you don't have the luxury of big tractors and good equipment that's down the drive in the shed, and you have to be more creative in how you get your research accomplished, and that has value as well. The second category that I want to talk about is something that we use on occasion, and it's done more often in conjunction with a specific school as sort of an arrangement that is kind of a standard arrangement. And we call these our special problems assignments or mini internships. These tend to be short in nature, typically 4 to 6 weeks, sometimes up to 2 months in length. And in these cases, we're typically finding a student that needs a specific kind of an experience. Oftentimes, this happens to be for master's students, but we've done it for undergraduates as well, where there's an advisor or a professor out there that says, this student is really good, but to broaden their experiences. Everything they've done so far has been in the laboratory, and we need for them to have a taste of what it's like to be out in the field. Or this student's been working in corn their entire undergraduate and graduate career, and they need an experience in another crop, so we'll take them into something and have them work on almonds or cotton or something that's totally different from a corn system to help broaden their experiences that way. They tend to be very focused and very short, measurable kinds of projects, and basically we oftentimes will fund these in kind of a shared compensation way where the university may fund some housing or some kind of a stipend for the student, and we'll fund the other piece of that. So they tend to be kind of shared in nature, and it truly is a partnership with the school or the university. It tends to be tailored to the student, as I've tried to describe, and it's used to really broaden their perspective. Here you can see a student that's actually installing Centricon stations in the backyard of a home in Arizona. And so you've got a desert situation where they're really working on termite control in kind of a dry land situation, something very different from what a student might work on in the Midwest. This does have potential for course credit, and oftentimes it would be considered research credit. And also, some professional work products can come out of this, such as either a poster or a paper at a professional meeting, or some kind of a at least co-authorship on a publication at some point. And we try to make these very measurable and have some value in that way for the students. So there again, it can create a track record of professionalism that's outside of what they've typically been working on. And they can be assigned everywhere, like I said, the lab, field stations, territory assignments, whatever. The last area, of course, are kind of the bona fide true internships, and of the three, these are certainly the ones that I think carry the most weight relative to value that they might have. And essentially, these can be 3 to 6 months in length. A lot of them in the standard, North American area would be a summer role between semesters, but we also have places like Florida and South Texas where 3 months isn't really long enough to accomplish a research season or a research program, and we'll actually offer these for a longer period of time to where they look a lot more like what you might see in engineering with a co-op student or something like that, but they tend to be longer in nature. These tend to be very initiated by the employer, so there's a little less of this collaboration, as I would have said, with the special problems where you're working on that with a specific school. They tend to be a posted opportunity that students can pursue. And they can be private sector. The government does them as well. They tend to pay fairly well in the private sector. You can see the salary range there. You do the math on that over a 12-month period, that's really not too bad. But for a lot of the students, it does mean they've got to find some additional housing. And depending on the situation, the company may or may not help with some of that. But there are some other expenses that go into these assignments, which can oftentimes be a long way from campus. They are a salaried work expectation as well. They pay fairly well, but another thing that we try to impress upon the students is that in the private sector, when you're in a salaried job role, and it's true in academia, it's true everywhere else as well, there's an eye-opener for a lot of students that it's not an 8-to-5 or a 7:30 to 4:30 job, particularly when you're talking about research. You start your day, a lot of it's determined by the weather, and sometimes you have some extremely long days, daylight to dark, and it may be that way for a week or two straight. And that's part of what comes with a salaried expectation, and we want to make sure they understand that and that they see that working with a scientist that's on our job role full time that's working that hard too. So it is an eye-opener for some of the students to find out that, this is not something where you punch the clock and you go home at 5 o'clock and you're done for the day. There is some ownership in the project versus just putting in the hours, and we try to impress that upon them. It's specific to some fairly business critical things that we need, and therefore, as I said, it's a posted job with a very specific role. So the student would be choosing to do this or not do it based on what we're describing the job will be for that period of time. It's designed actually for the mutual benefit of both the student and the company. We don't just use these as hourly assignments where we've got slave labor. If there's not value in it from a learning standpoint, we don't call it an internship. We would call it something else. And it has, again, some very good potential in this situation for some professional work products. At the very least, a presentation or poster at a national meeting like this, but more hopefully, some co-authorship on some papers. These range the gamut. These go from R&D to discovery to regulatory. Marketing and sales uses a lot of these internships, which I, you know, would not discount for undergraduates that may not be planning to go on to advanced degrees. There are lots of opportunities in the kind of the sales and marketing area for BS levels graduates, and an experience like this really is very helpful for them as well. This is just a range of the kinds of experiences that are out there, and I'm not going to read all these to you, but in an ag chem and biotech company such as Dow AgroSciences, they really run the gamut. And these are some specific functional areas that routinely on an annual basis hire interns. So it's not just your standard field station or breeding station. There's a lot of other opportunities, and not all these would be filled by entomology candidates. But this is kind of the flavor of the day on what would be available at a typical institution such as mine. We've kind of touched on this a little bit, but you know, what should this research opportunity provide to the student? And effectively, you know, some experience here with an employment process for professionals, I think, is a piece of this that we often forget. Because this is a posted assignment, this may be the first time a lot of these students have had to put together a cover letter to apply for a position, the first time they've had to go and build whatever they might have into a resume or a CV or whatever you want to call it, and probably the first time they've really had to go out and do an actual interview with a suit and tie on in a serious way. And this is different than getting a job at McDonald's or Wendy's. This is something that's a little more professional in nature, and so it does allow for that learning experience for them to kind of have gone through that process the first time, to understand what, you know, what it means to kind of act in a professional way and go out and actively pursue something like this. It develops an appreciation, as we've said, for the private sector work environment. We've talked already about, you know, the fact that these are salaried kinds of roles, but that time commitment is something that really gets impressed in these things. The job content and the scope of the job for what they're doing, as well as the scientists they work with, becomes very clear to them. They get a feel for, you know, what that particular job and maybe some other jobs in the company, what kind of internal and external influence that professional that or that profession